Hello and welcome to the Expansion Room, where inner work meets impact. I'm your host, Siobhan Larice, and this week we are going to be talking about a topic near and dear to my heart, introversion and the power of an introverted business owner, an entrepreneur in a world that is super loud, oftentimes expects everyone to be an extrovert. And today my guest is Elizabeth Elson, and she is a friend of mine and is an introvert as well, and founder of the Department of Clarity, a social media messaging studio that creates custom strategies enabling thought leaders to measurably grow their reach. And today, I think our conversation is going to be fun and hopefully informative for the audience. One of the reasons I wanted to talk about this is that I see it in the clients that I work with, whether therapy clients or coaching clients, this need to be out in front and trying to be as loud as the loudest person in the room, which is oftentimes exhausting. And when I worked for the federal government, I found myself being in that space. We had what you call the open floor plan and no real walls, no real doors to speak of. And there were days that I would put in ear pods in order for me to like tone down the noise that was in the office, as well as to tune out some of my coworkers. And when I was there, I realized in the last couple of years that I was working in that department that because I was so quiet, I was looked on with suspicion, which I found fascinating. So we'll leave that there for now. I might come back to it. So today we're going to start with just what is it like for an introverted leader or entrepreneur to move about this world where they have to be on at all times? So I invite you, Elizabeth, to unmute. You can say a little bit more about yourself, and then we'll dive into the questions.
Great. First of all, thank you so much for having me. It's good to be here, and it's fun to talk about this because I think, in our previous conversations, we were talking about some of the myths of being an introvert. And I'm looking forward to getting into that and hearing your experience on that. Just a little bit about me. I work in social media marketing. I have my own company. You've heard that from Siobhan. I took the long way into this career. For a long time, I thought I was going to be an artist or get my PhD and just do a lot of research, both of which are somewhat perfect for an introvert. But after I completed my master's, I realized that neither one of those were probably going to be a very practical career for me. So I was kind of floundering, what am I going to do with my life? And I was dating somebody at that time whose mother was working in documentary film and needed a researcher. She said, "Hey, you've been to grad school, you're good at research, right?" And that was my big break. So one thing led to another. That job led to a 25 plus year TV career. I've worked in public television, cable streaming, augmented reality podcasting. And I've always been project-based. I've never really worked for a company. And so I've really had to examine my own mind in a way and figure out how to survive in an industry that seems like it really rewards an extroverted person going out and getting jobs and networking and, going out to the field and meeting new people, talking to them all the time. Yeah, here I am. That's a little bit about my background.
Nice. Yeah, that networking. I forgot about that. We
Yeah,
definitely
networking.
talk about that
Yeah.
because when I did decide to like open my practice full time, that was one of the things I really had to step into was like talking to people about myself and what I do. And I was just like, oh my God. So yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about that. So as an introverted business owner, what have been some of the biggest challenges that you have faced in this world that really rewards extroversion, right? Especially when it comes to visibility, networking, marketing, all that kind of front-facing activity.
Yeah, that's a good question. And when you very graciously told me that was going to be one of the questions you were going to ask me, I really had to do some thinking about it, because I hadn't really thought about it before. I just kind of adapted over the years. And the thing that I think that I came up with was that, it took me a long time before I realized that I actually am an introvert, because I am a very confident person. I have decent social skills, sometimes better than others. And I've also been in leadership positions for a long time. So, you know, when I first started working at a higher level on TV, I'd find myself on set leading a crew of like 20 people, or showing up in a place to interview some, you know, big person that I hadn't met and had a lot of prickly handles, you know, kind of a high pressure situation. And I was always very comfortable and confident stepping up and smiling and orchestrating the situation. But then at the end of the day, everybody else would want to go out for a drink to celebrate the day. Mm-hmm. And I would just want to disappear in my hotel room and sit in a hot bath and order French fries, you know? Yep. So I was like, what's the deal? Like, and I was talking to a friend about it, and she, you know, a very wise friend. And she said, well, that's probably because you're an introvert. And I was like, what? I never thought of that, you know, because I'm pretty outgoing. And she said, right. Well, you know, there's a difference between being an introvert and being shy.
Yes.
You know, so, you know, that as a therapist, that was news to me.
And oh, so I found out years into being a therapist that that was the case. Oh. I always thought shyness was introversion. And so right? I was surprised to find out that I was an introvert. And it was on reading Susan Cain's book, Quiet. And I was like, reading it dumbfounded. I was like, oh, that's why I'm exhausted after a day of talking to 6 or 7 clients.
Yeah.
Or why being in an open floor plan office does not work for me. Mm-hmm. So it was her book that made me realize. And then, of course, I called my mother immediately, because I grew up in a family of extroverts. And so I was like, I'm an introvert.
What did she say?
And she kind of knew it, but
what?
Her parenting never changed, really.
Maybe Siobhan needs more time by herself.
That's what I definitely knew growing up. I loved my books and my own bedroom. Luckily, I was the only girl, so I didn't have to share a bedroom. So yeah, it was a surprise, because you're also social. I mean, I've known you for years. You're a very social person, and you don't come off shy at all. And people probably are surprised when you say to them that you're an introvert.
Yeah, that's what I realized after talking to my friend, is it's an energy thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like a shy thing, because she was explaining to me, you know, introversion is like where your energy comes from. So you need that time to recharge through solitude and reflection.
That's right.
You know, and then shy, if you're shy, that's a fine thing. Lots of people are shy, but that's more about fear or anxiety about social judgment.
That's right.
You know, and I don't really have that. So That was really interesting to me. And then, you know, I'd say the other discovery for me about being an introvert was about marketing myself.
Mm-hmm.
You may have had that experience too, because I know that at one point when you started your business, you had to go into, like, we both have had to go into these like marketing yourself type things,
mm-hmm.
right? And for me, that was quite a different way of doing things, because sure, I'd been working as a freelance independent contractor person for about 20 years, but I'd never marketed myself. It was just word of mouth. Like, that's more or less the way that business works. People work with you, you get along with them, they refer you, and next thing you know, you have this giant network. Like, I never had to market myself to look for a job. I might have to have a conversation about the project or the timing or whatever, but I never had to do that. And since I started my social media company, it's my own company. So, you know, I have to go out and market myself. And I thought, oh no, how am I going to do it? You know, just, yeah. I think I had a strange idea of what that actually means, you know? And yeah, I didn't, because I never really had to do it. I had all these stereotypes of it, and I sort of saw it as something that was more performative and not authentic. Yeah. And I would have to kind of pretend to be somebody I was not. And it was making me feel that that was not going to be aligned with my integrity. Of course, now I realize I don't really have to do that, but it was a journey. I don't know. Did you have that type of thing?
It definitely felt that way in the beginning. But over the years, I realized, yeah, I just can be myself. I'm a social introvert, which Susan Cain talks about in her book, the several different types of introversion. And so you have the ones that are more shy and kind of stay to themselves and a little more anxious. But then the social introvert can get out there and do the thing. It's just that they have to have ample downtime afterwards. Mm-hmm. They will hit a wall. We will hit a wall of overstimulation. And I learned that the hard way. I didn't know what that was before I read her book, where I could be at an event or a party or networking or something, and I could be there for whatever number of hours, and then all of a sudden this feeling of exhaustion would come over me. And when I read her book, I realized, oh, I need to set some boundaries around my ways of being and interacting in these spaces, which we'll talk more about the boundaries in the later segment. But then I got really good at it. I would hang out with friends, and I knew I'm going to be here from this time to this time, and then I'm going to go home to a quiet apartment.
Yes, that's right.
You know, if I was going to a networking event or some sort of collaboration type of event, even when I go to conferences, I love being at conferences where there's a hotel involved and I could go back to my room mm-hmm. at a certain point just to get that quiet recharge time. You know, local conferences are harder for me to do because then I'm there, it's all day. I will not get any downtime until I get back to my house.
All or nothing. Yeah.
It's all or nothing when you're local. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're about to take our first break, and when we return, we'll talk a little bit more about the science behind introversion and introverted power in the workspace. So come on back.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
and welcome back to the Expansion Room, where today we are talking about introversion in entrepreneurship in a world that is designed for extroverts in a lot of ways. And my guest is Elizabeth Elson. And one of the things that I love about this topic is that the research evidence has caught up with what a lot of introverts have known all along, right? And Susan Cain was the first person who I knew of. And I think her book, Quiet, came out, it's gotta be more than 10 years old now. And when I saw that she was tracking even kids, there's this research where they're tracking kids from, I think, birth or at least infancy through a certain age. And they could tell by whether they cry a lot, needed to be held a lot, whether they were going to be introverted or extroverted. Like, it goes all the way back, right? And she looked at the different types of introverts and kind of their special powers, so to speak. But one thing was key, or several things were key, that I'm going to talk about here, and that some of that has been updated as well. So the research mentions overstimulation, or this arousal theory, throughout every piece of research I think that I've seen. And it comes at this effect of always having to be on. And so it used to be that you always had to be on at work. Now it has spread into people's personal lives. I think especially since the pandemic, because now so many people still actually work from home. I'm mostly working from home. And so there's this always on effect that is tempting. It's kind of alluring. So they talk about that, this nonstop work, high frequency meetings, this kind of sense of overstimulation when there's no boundaries on the engagement. And then of course they talk about the open floor plan. And that was one of the things Susan Cain laid out in the book, that that is a bad idea, but yet it still remains in a lot of spaces. And then in office spaces or in meetings, there's the extrovert that always is louder than everyone else or talking more than everyone else. And so the person who is introverted will self-silence. And so that therefore, if they're working for someone else, it narrows the opportunities for them, because when people are thinking of promoting people, they often think of the loudest person in the room. Okay. And so those were the things that have come up in the research that I'm like, yep, I've seen it and or lived it in my own life. I think burnout is another one that's talked about fairly often. And I've met introverts who have been in front-facing kinds of jobs of leadership, couldn't understand why they were starting to feel burnt out. And we would have to talk about, well, how are you spending your work days? And it's in back-to-back meetings, or having to talk. When I worked for the federal government myself, I was in the court system and I would have to go to court. And man, I would sweat out blouses because I would have to get up and publicly speak to the judge. You know, I was like, why is this hard? I couldn't understand why it was hard until I got more information. And so as we think about burnout in this world built for extroverts, what does burnout look like for you, Elizabeth? Or have you experienced burnout as an introverted entrepreneur? And how have you learned to recover after expending so much energy?
Yeah, those are all such relatable points. Everything that you brought up is just so incredibly relatable. I mean, first of all, the 24/7 culture, especially, you know, like us, or anybody who owns your own business, you know, the tendency is to feel like you want to be always available or mm-hmm. receptive or, you know, yep. supporting the people, because both of us are in support, you know, support positions. You're supporting people's mental health. I'm supporting their marketing, which sometimes feels like their mental health, you know, mm-hmm. and so, you know, you really want to be there for people. So yeah, the 24/7 culture is a huge thing. You know, I think we're close to the same age, and you know, you probably, like me, remember a day before cell phones.
Yes!
The good old days.
Indeed!
You know, when you could just shut your phone, or like nobody could really reach you. They weren't
That's
like
right.
singing and blinging and all this stuff. And, you know, there's a lot of convenience to cell phones, obviously. So I don't want to be a total neo-Luddite, but... anyway, I totally 100% agree. Like, protecting and managing your energy is absolutely 100% crucial. Mm-hmm. For me, the first thing is my meditation practice. I really had to double down on that. You know, I tried a lot of meditation. I finally found one that works for me, which is chanting mantras. It doesn't really matter what your meditation practice is, whether it's moving meditation, breathing meditation, sound meditation, whatever. I just think, you know, it's helpful for me and a lot of people I know and who are also introverted entrepreneurs to just have some time to yourself to, like, it's kind of like a palate cleanser or something. I feel yes. like,
that's
you
a
know?
Perfect way to talk about that. Yes.
Yeah. It feels like a walk in nature, you know, whatever it is, just something to kind of be, give yourself some mental space to kind of not be as task oriented, but just kind of unwind and be creative. The other thing that I do that I've found in the last maybe like 10 years that made a huge difference is I actually don't multitask, because nice. That was really stressing me out, because I felt like I had to be available for everybody and everything at all times. Mm-hmm. And that was just, you know, because there's so many things to do all the time, especially as an entrepreneur, you always do feel a little bit behind, even if you're not, there's always more to do. Mm-hmm. And so I just took this, what was for me at that time, a very radical step of like, you know what, I'm just going to do one thing at a time. And if somebody wants to get a hold of me, they're just going to have to wait. So I actually put my phone in the other room. I schedule blocks of time. And nice. It really helps to have my energy not splayed out like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have you ever tried that?
I've not done it that way. I have set up blocks of time though. And what mm-hmm. I'll do is I will turn my phone on silent.
Yes.
Face down, and whatever I need to get done will then get done. I love doing things in blocks of time. And I love having segments of my day. So I don't usually see my first client until 10 o'clock. But I am an early riser, also a meditator. And so normally I'm waking up somewhere between 4 and 5 in the morning. So when I wake up, I get up. And from that time to 10 is mine, right? And that allows me to kind of think. That's the other thing that I loved about the research that I've come across over the years about introverts. We are thinkers. We need yeah. space and time to yeah. just kind of work through things in our minds. And that's my time of day to do that, is first thing when I get up. It's almost like it's problem solving time, or, mm-hmm. you know, just pondering, thinking. And then my forward facing time is meeting with clients, having other kinds of meetings. And then I have a hard stop to my day usually, so that the evenings are things that I choose to do that are not oftentimes work-based if I can help it. So these segments of my day are really helpful for the way my brain works.
That's good. That takes discipline, I think, too. You know,
It
it took
does.
discipline for me to just set those blocks and be like, you know what, this is, of course, if it's an emergency or something,
Yeah.
you know,
And you
but
can, you know, you can roll with it.
yeah, for some reason, I don't know. I think I've just had to get over the idea with 24/7 culture that taking time for myself and taking downtime isn't actually self-indulgent.
No,
you know,
it is not.
It's a necessity. And actually,
yes.
you know, if I'm just going to be practical about it, it makes me perform better in
Absolutely,
terms of
it
my
does.
work, you know?
It does. Yeah, it'll prevent
So,
you from burning out.
yes.
And one of the things that, you know, there are like the three S's, like stimulation, because engaging with other humans is stimulation. The workday is stimulation, but then you know when to take solitude. Right. And even when you're partnered, like I was married when I found out that I figured out that I was an introvert. And I was like, oh, great. And there were definitely like when he had to travel for work or when he was at work, I relished in the emptiness of the apartment and just. I just loved it. And then I made sure I took an alternate work schedule when I was working for the federal government so that I was off every Friday, which means I got much of that day to myself. And so I just built in solitude into my life and then strategy. And we'll talk a lot about strategy in the fourth segment today. It's like strategy. How do you structure your day? And when I left the federal government, I was like, oh, well, now I have to set my own schedule. What does that look like? And I had to go with feel of it. Like, what does it feel like? I knew what I liked. I hadn't worked on a Friday in a long time. So I kind of kept that. I'm having an alternate work schedule at the last two jobs that I had had. And then kind of how would I want to work my day? And most people would be like, well, you start at 8 or 9. I know therapists who literally start seeing clients at 7 a.m. I'm like,
Wow.
what? What? Well, they want to get in before they go to work. I'm like, well, I wouldn't want, no.
Yeah.
I'm up that early, but I don't want to interface with humans. No, when are you going to get your time, you know? So yeah, so it's really that strategy of how you set your day, you set your week, you know? So we're about to take our next break. And then when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about that and the science. And we'll leave the rest to the tips for the fourth segment. So come on back.
Misalignment within your sales team or with a client stalls deals and creates unnecessary friction for you and the client, resulting in up to 37% lower win rate. If you're in pre-sales, sales, sales management, or sales enablement, and you'd like to increase revenues, win rate, margins, client satisfaction, and stay competitive, this show is for you. Hi, I'm Art Fromm, host of the Making Seamless Sales Show. Please join me live Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Expansion Room, where today we're talking about the power of introverted entrepreneurs. And there was one thing I definitely did not want to forget to talk about before we move forward, and that was something in the research. There was a recent study that came out with Adam Grant, Francesca Gino, and David Hoffman, where they noted that introverted leaders excel with proactive teams, while extroverted leaders excel with passive teams. And I thought that was fascinating, but I've noticed that in my experience that that has been true, that an introverted leader seems to invite input and problem solving, invites the team to work on things. What do you think? What is your idea here? And does anyone have a solution for this? And in extroverted leadership, there tends to be maybe more passive teams because the extroverted person either puts out, tells people what to do, when to do it, and how to do it, and is not always expecting or rather inviting feedback. Has that been your experience?
Yeah, it's actually super interesting. As you were speaking, I was reflecting on my experience working with teams, because I have worked with creative teams basically my whole career. And I do think that a lot of times introverted people do have somewhat of an advantage working collaboratively. Just because of that very thing that you described. My experience is that people who are introverted, I don't want to make these broad generalizations, but just generally, they do tend to be collaborative in the sense that they tend to listen, before they speak, perhaps. I think that's a superpower,
Yes,
really.
indeed.
If people can do that, it does take a different type of personality, but it's a communication strength because you're responding to what someone actually has said rather than what you thought they were going to say or have already predetermined. So that's one thing that I've noticed. I was thinking there, in a lot of these introverted teams that I've worked with, people tend to be fairly sensitive to other people, which is, another superpower, really.
Absolutely.
And because they have empathy, and certainly when you're doing a creative collaboration with people, I think that's an essential component of success. Is being able to listen, being empathetic, trying to understand what somebody is communicating. They may have a different communication style, but you still have the desire and the interest to appreciate and understand that style. And the other thing I would say that it made me think of is I've noticed that a lot of people who are introverts generally are interested in things that are, I don't know how to say this, but maybe a little more substantial or lasting or contemplative. When I was interviewing people, I've interviewed so many people, and I found that a lot of people who were really amazing leaders, whether it was, in the military or in science or in arts, whatever it is, they actually were pretty introverted people. And I think one of the reasons why they were so successful was, the other things I mentioned before, but they were actually contemplative and they thought about things, they measured them, they were strategic, and they also, kind of they attract people because of that. Those are special qualities in a world where people are trying to clamor for attention, you know, a person who can listen, who can have empathy, who can be contemplative and take their time about things. Those are actually very, very powerful leadership traits.
Absolutely.
Don't you think?
Absolutely. I agree. I remembered seeing that Eleanor Roosevelt, Rosa Parks, Einstein, Nikola Tesla, all were introverts. Right. And so that contemplative piece. And I think that's the part that oftentimes gets missed in a business or office space where brainstorming is this big thing that companies, businesses love to tout. But brainstorming sessions is not oftentimes where an introvert shines, unless they have time beforehand to have those contemplative moments. Maybe they already know what the topic is going to be that we're going to be brainstorming, or these the problem that needs to be solved. If they know that in advance, then they take time to think about it, and then they're ready for that brainstorming session. But if you just round up an office full of people, you will find that the introvert might be the quietest person in the room because they need time to have that inner dialogue for themselves, you know?
Yeah, and just sort of think it through.
Out there. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, yeah, and just think it through.
Absolutely.
Rather than just reacting to it, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Are there other unique advantages that you can think of that introverts have in the business space, in the leadership space?
I think a lot of other good qualities, in my opinion, fall under those things. You know, the empathy gives them the ability to connect with people, you know, and kind of meet people where they are, to understand different communication styles. And, you know, not everybody's the same. Everybody's kind of got their own trip. And, you know, the contemplative, I think, is super important in terms of strategy, because if you're not contemplating things, it does make it hard to come up with a strategy. And I think that my experience has been that if you're always just reacting to external stimulation, you're not really going to be in control of your own path. And so it's kind of hard to lead other people down that path if you're just sort of reacting to all these things and not willing to take a step back. You do have to also have some level of confidence in order to do that. So you can't just be like an introvert with no confidence.
That's fair.
You know,
totally fair.
Yeah, you have to have some confidence in your ability to tell maybe your boss or your team, like, hey, let's take a step back and get them to do that. What do you think?
And I think so. Confidence, definitely, or at least that in the space you're in, that when you do speak up, they listen.
Yeah.
I remember reading an article a couple of years after the financial market crash of 2008, 2009. And it was written by an introvert, I think. And they said the alarms were being rung by the introverts in those offices, like in those financial institutions, but no one was listening.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Oh. Like, some of the quieter people knew it was coming and they were trying to reel them in, and no one wanted to hear it.
Oh, man.
I was like, ooh, that's bad.
Listen to the introverts.
Yeah, because when we do speak, That means we actually have something to say.
That's a really good point.
Right.
Yeah, we're not just talking for the sake of talking most of the time.
Indeed, indeed. And how have you helped your clients, the people that you've worked with, to be able to do the same for themselves?
Well, you know, it's interesting because with social media marketing, a lot of people really do have the idea, you know, there's pros and cons to everything. Mm-hmm. And I think social media marketing gets a bad rap. There's a lot of amazing people really that are service oriented and finding great audiences for their messages on social media. But I think there's this perception that you have to do things in a way that is extremely extroverted. People come to me and they're like, oh my God, I have to post like every day in order to get the algorithm, or I have to have more behind the scenes content, or I have to do trending audio and memes, and I'm just not a trendy person, or have a lot of selfies because people like to see faces. And you know, none of that is really true. The thing about social media that I really like is that it really rewards authenticity.
Right.
You know, and because, you know, if you want to be an influencer, that's fine. Like a typical, you know, stereotype of an influencer. But if you want to have influence, you really need to find a way to be yourself. And so that's the main thing I would say that I have to work with people is, you know, who are you? What do you want to say? What is your message? What is your, you know, we do a competitive analysis. We do a deep differentiation. What is your message? How are you different? What is unique to you? Who is your audience? You know, and once people start to think through those, because again, a lot of introverted people are contemplative, mm-hmm. so they enjoy the process. Yep. They just haven't really been guided that way before because they're just thinking, throw it out there. We'll get a bunch of likes. They're not necessarily thinking in terms of like, no, you want your target audience. You want to share your unique point of view. And then there's got to be a way to measure it on the other side. How are you connecting with these people other than likes?
Yeah.
So once you kind of break it down for people, I find that, you know, because introverted people do tend to be strategic. They do tend to be contemplative. Like they really like it because they can understand the process. Right. But, you know, I think a lot of people are going for social media because somebody told them they have to do it and they, you know that it'll help them scale their message, but they don't really want to do it and they're kind of bummed about it. So, you know, a big part of my job is just helping them understand the way it really works and getting in the mindset of, no, this is a form of personal expression. We can be strategic about it. We can be resourceful about it. It's not going to take over your life. Right. And it should be, you know, ideally kind of fun.
You would hope.
Yeah.
Yeah, it took me a long time, like doing this podcast. When I met my current marketing person, I met him over 2 years ago, and he said to me, oh, you should be doing a podcast. Absolutely not. I was like, no.
Why not?
I just did not want to be on camera this much. I was just like, no.
And here you are.
And here I am. And it became something this year that I was like, you know, and it was exactly how you explained it. It's about being myself, and I don't have to do all the, what I thought were the wild things that you have to do when you're doing a podcast or when you're on social media a lot or just trying to share your message. I'm like, oh, no, I can just do it my way.
Yay.
Which is great. But yes, I was a hard no for a long time on these kinds of social media things. All right. So we're going to take our final break. And when we return, we will be talking about strategies that you can put into your place for your own life if you happen to be an introverted leader here in this extroverted world. So come on back.
On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a purpose-driven individual looking for deeper healing, clarity, and growth? Welcome to the Expansion Room, a transformative space for purpose-driven individuals. I'm Siobhan Larice, host, licensed therapist, and coach. Join me every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Expansion Room. And so in this segment, we're going to be talking about how to protect your energy, which is my favorite subject. I will never forget, years ago, I was working with a therapy client who was, she complained of always being exhausted. And she said she had just too much to do. And her calendar was full. And I was like, how do you mean? Like, do you not get breaks? And so she pulls out her cell phone, pulls up her calendar, and it was literally full. She had like, everything was color coded and so forth, but there was no white space. And I was like, oh no, absolutely not. And we had already figured out she was an introvert. I had given her homework to read Susan Cain's book and her research. And so I was like, you've got to change that. And so that has been something that I have worked on for many years now with introverted clients who are overextending themselves and overstimulated and on the verge of burnout. So I hinted earlier at one of my strategies is if I'm going to an event or a party at some sort of people-facing activity, I know that my max is usually about 3 hours. I could stretch it to 4 if it's not a large group, but 3 hours is usually pretty good. And I like to get to events at the beginning. And as it fills up, I'm the one who slips out at my 3 hour mark. And then I go home and chill. So that's a strategy, a social strategy that I have. And then my other is how I structure my workday. I'm up very early in the morning. I don't see first client until 10. So I usually get in my meditation, walking time, thinking time, coffee time, and then shower, get dressed and all of that kind of stuff. All of that time is for me. And then I feel like I'm ready to interface with humans. And then at night, in the evenings, my phone goes on dark at a certain time. And I'm answering no more emails. I don't care if I see it come in, I'll check it in the morning. I'm good. So those are the ways that I set up my work days. How about you, Elizabeth?
All those resonate with me. I am really that geeky person who's like the first one at the party to, hello, you know.
Yep.
I like
can
it.
Because you finish setting up.
Yeah, exactly. What can I do to help? You know, it's nice because you get to chit chat with that person a little more one-on-one.
True. Very true.
You know, because I have to say I am a little more, I enjoy the one-on-one time a little more than like the big group time. It's when the party kind of gets into the whole big group and you can't really have a conversation because you can't hear. I'm like, yes. Oh, yeah.
Then it's time to go home.
Grandma's going home. No, I'm not that old, but I've always been that way, you know.
Me too.
So that's definitely a strategy. I like your meditation strategy. I like your time for yourself, your energy management strategy. And, you know, I would say for me, a big thing is just honestly, just not even really comparing myself to extroverted people. They just do things differently. Like my husband actually is a huge extrovert. He's a teacher. He gets really jazzed by, like, you know, teaching a big group of people and doing things in person. And he gets really excited and energized. He comes home, he's all hyped up and everything. And, you know, that's great. And he just has a totally different way of doing it. And, you know, we would go to a party and of course there was always that, he's happy to stay there forever. And I'm like, oh my God, I totally had enough. You've probably even seen that, right?
Yes. I've been in trouble with partners, people I've dated in the past who were more extroverted than me. And I now know, like, and I've said this to at least one or two clients, if you're going to a party with your extroverted partner, how about you take two cars? So when you're ready to leave, you can go, or you take the Uber and let them keep the car.
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
I never thought of that, but yeah.
Yeah. It's like, you know, when you're ready, you should just go home. Cause then you're the grouchy person in the room. Yeah. Any other strategies that you either you use or that you would tell your clients?
Yeah, for my clients, you know, and I'm really thinking about the social media marketing. It really is strategy and systems. I feel like having systems like the one you talked of for yourself, you know, how you structure your day, or even having like a system for your social media is really protecting your energy. Because you know what you're going to do. You're not having to think about it every day. You're not having to engage with that every day. You're protecting your time, you know, redefining success as clarity rather than volume.
Yes. You know,
in terms of your communication, how clearly am I reaching people? It's not a matter of wanting to go viral. That's actually not even that helpful.
No.
You just really want to get the people that really need to hear your message, you know, so it's picking platforms that fit your communication style, and like knowing that you can really lead with ideas rather than personality.
Yeah.
And the reason I think these are important to mention is because a lot of the advice that you do get for social media marketing is made for extroverts. And so you do kind of have to, as an introverted person, especially if you really want to get your message out about your service or your business, you do have to think of a different way to approach it. Yeah. And you do have to understand that it's going to be different for you. And that's great. You can still have a ton of success. But what's going to work for you is going to be different. You know, you're going to be thinking of marketing as sharing your message and expressing your authentic message unique to you more than like self-promotion. You know, that's a big mind twist for a lot of people. Marketing's not a dirty thing. You want to get your message out. That's why you're passionate about it. Okay. It's a service. So I think things like that have been really helpful to me. And also just get into it. Be an introvert. It's cool. You're contemplative. You're thoughtful. You're empathetic, you know.
Own
it. You can relate to a lot of different types of people. Those are wonderful things, you know.
Absolutely. I would agree.
We all have
that.
Our gifts.
Own it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think I would also add to this, because I keep hearing about the endless days of meetings.
Yes.
And if you're a leader You can set the tone on the whole meeting situation,
Yep.
right? Number one, you don't have to have back-to-back meetings. You don't have to have what we used to call in the federal government meetings about meetings, which drove me bananas. Like, you could have sent me that in an email. and consider using email. Like, do you have to meet face-to-face, either in person or over Zoom, when you could do an actual email outlining what it is you need it to convey, right? So 100%. Just like this meeting conservation, meeting energy conservation, setting boundaries around meetings, I think can be very helpful. And when people have a little bit more space in their day, they feel more energized, more of ability or capacity to be creative and problem solve. But the constant meetings really drains people, especially introverts. So we talked about solitude and we talked about leading with your authentic voice and creative recovery time. Anything else you can think of?
No, I just love that music that you played before we came on, that song about the cosmos
and oh, yes.
stars. And it kind of made me feel contemplative and somehow seemed quite related to this conversation.
Indeed, right? Yeah. It was a song put together by clips of a bunch of scientists, like Neil LaGrasse.
Tyson, yeah.
Thank you. Him and several others. And so they have these music artists took clips of their voices and then either slowed them down or sped them up and made a song.
It's beautiful.
Cool. It's pretty yeah. cool. Yeah. So it was one of my favorite songs. So yeah, that we get to hear before this show. I don't know if it happens before all of the shows, but it happens before mine.
Love it.
Wonderful. Well, I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, Elizabeth, for joining me on the show and sharing your wisdom from the space and from the lens that you have on this work as an introverted entrepreneur, working mostly, it sounds like, with other introverts, which is so wonderful in this world where we're all being asked to be more front-facing, especially in social media.
So. Thank you, Siobhan. It was really fun to talk to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Tell Hari I said hello.
I will do that.
And to the audience, if there's anything that resonated in this episode for you, I definitely would hope that you start to look into how to shift things for yourself and put boundaries around your energy. Or if you know someone in your life who is a quiet leader or leans more introverted, definitely share this episode. And I invite you all to like and subscribe on whichever platform you're watching or listening, and join us next week here on the Expansion Room. Take care.
Uplift, educate, empower.
On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A-Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A-Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices, Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.